and down to the end. Going to finish up this area that Paul's speaking on briefly about weeping, amen. How many of y'all like a good cry every now and again, amen? You know that we're built emotional creatures, and we have like a cycle that we go through where we get a little weepy at times for no apparent reason at all. It's just one of those metabolic things, I guess. Anybody know the medical term for that? Metaphysical? Well, it might be metaphysical. I mean, I know it's metabolical or something, diabolical, whatever you may, term may be, but anyway, we do get to that point where we want to weep, and sometimes for no reason at all. All of us go through emotional times like that, amen. Sometimes ladies go through a little bit more frequent than men, but we all do go through that. We have just periods of sadness that we go through, amen. Paul here is weeping over a specific item, or not Paul, but the people that are accompanying him weeping over a certain item. And we're going to finish looking at this tonight, amen, and just trust the Lord to work in our heart and see some more about weeping. One thing to be reminded of, that there is no shame to weeping. There's no shame to weeping. Now, it depends on what you're weeping over sometimes, though. If you're like me, my dad ran through the fence on my motorcycle and I wept, amen. That's really not the thing to weep over. I should have been happy that he didn't get hurt, but I wept over my mechanical motorcycle that he ran through the fence, and it was okay, and I wept anyway. But, he said, what about me? And I thought, well, he said, you can get another bike. You can't get another me. You know, when you're 14 years old, you're not really thinking like that. Amen. And so praise the Lord. So verse number 33, let's pick that up here. Let's read it together, going down to verse number 38. Here we go. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Father, as this last parting that Paul has with the Ephesian elders, God help us to glean a blessing from it and understand the significance of weeping. Lord, it is something that we do and we will continue to do, but I look forward to the day when you're going to wipe away all tears from our eyes, Lord. And I thank you so much that we'll have not the sorrow that we have now and that we go through now. We even thank you, Lord, that we don't have to sorrow as others who sorrow, which have no hope. We have the hope of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, regulate us as we go through times of weeping and, Lord, just shedding of our emotions. And Lord, I pray you would guide and direct and lead tonight as we study your word. We thank you and love you for being our God. Watch over us now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And so far, we've looked at here in these last few verses how Paul said his testimony concerning wealth was crystal clear. He said, I've coveted no man's silver or gold. He said, you know what? Concerning that, I didn't covet their wealth. Concerning the apparel, he said, I've coveted no one's wear. And we talked about that as well. Then we came down to his testimony concerning work. He said, I was a committed and I was a concerned worker down there in verse number 34, where he said, you know, I have ministered. I wasn't afraid to work. And then he said, concerning the weak down there, I was caring concerning the weak in verse 35. He says, I showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And by the way, we ought to help those that cannot help themselves. Now, sometimes people can help themselves and they just need to help themselves. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. But then it also says, bear your own burden as well. Sometimes you need to do some things yourself, and the Bible is clear about that. But there are times when there are those that are weak, and they need to be supported, and that is clear, amen. I remember we had a person in the church one time, and they refused to tithe because they said they didn't want to be a recipient of giving welfare money to the church and supporting someone else in the church that wasn't a tither. And I thought, Brother Neil, what kind of sense does that make? They said, look, my tithe is worth this amount of money, and so I'm not going to tithe because everybody else is not tithing. I said, you have nothing to do with someone else's tithe. Well, if I'm giving my money, and I feel like I'm just giving to the welfare or something like that, and I thought, what planet did you just drop off from? Amen. You tithe because it's right by God, amen. Not because of a welfare or no fair or delfare, amen. That's got nothing to do with it, amen. And I thought, wow. I said, well, you know, we are responsible for supporting the weak, amen. And he didn't want to have anything to do with that, amen. So needless to say, he didn't tithe, amen. But anyway, he said, hey, concerning the weak, amen, I've showed you and how laboring you ought to support the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And then we came up to this final area here in verse number 36, Paul's testimony concerning those that are weeping. And notice what he says down there when he had thus spoken, verse 36, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore. And I gave you some of my testimony of my weeping and how God has been molding me and shaping me about weeping. I came from being the sissy to going back then and being a person that didn't weep at all because it wasn't manly. Real men don't cry. They turn around and go in the closet and cry, amen. And so went from that, and then God began to work in my heart and show me that, you know, if Jesus can weep, anybody can weep, amen. But then we've got to concern ourselves with what we are weeping over, what we're weeping over, and we began talking about as well. And so we looked at John 11:34, how Jesus wept over the saints. Then we looked at Luke 19:41, how Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. Then we looked at Peter, and Peter wept over his own sin, said he went out and wept bitterly. And let me add another one to that, and John chapter 20 and verse number 11. Turn over there with me real quick as we talk about weeping just a little bit and look at what some of the biblical characters wept for. And I will let you in on something, too. Oftentimes, the ungodly, the unsaved, and those that were unspiritual often wept over themselves selfishly. And there were many that did that, and we're not going to concern ourselves with that today. But John chapter 20 and verse 11, the character is Mary, the scene is the tomb, place yourself in her shoes, and what would you do? Jesus's body is no longer there. Of course, the ladies go there to the sepulcher, and notice what it says down here in verse number 10 of chapter number 20. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher, doing what? Weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Why are you weeping? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I have not, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. So here we have Mary here at the sepulcher weeping because she doesn't know where Jesus was at. Now, of course, we have the aftermath. We know what happened. Jesus is risen from the dead. Amen. Now, I want you to contrast something here. Go back up a couple verses to verse number 2. Now, matter of fact, verse number 1. First day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was dark unto the sepulcher and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter. There we go. Men from Friday night, Simon Peter. Amen. And to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Of course, we know that's John. And saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, there's our man again, following him and went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now notice verse 8. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Notice there's no weeping with John and Peter. But when it comes down to Mary, she's weeping. Why do you think she's weeping, and why are they not weeping? Gee? No, you didn't play that card. Amen. All right. Anything else? Amen. Joshua? Yeah, amen. Anybody else? Fefe? Jesus told them, okay, yes. Mary was on, and that could be, you know, I think it was partially that they kind of had that understanding, because if you read verse 8, it says he saw and believed. I think they partially had the understanding, okay, it did happen. It's hard to believe, but I think he's here. And I think Mary was still like, man, you know, somebody took him. He's not here. What thief, what bandit, what rogue, who would do something, who would take a dead body? And I think that just bewildered her in such a way where it just got to her in such a way that made her to weep, knowing that someone would come and do this to her Lord and her Savior. Whereas the other disciples, I believe John, had a sense of belief that, hey, maybe this is real. Because it said he believed, amen. For as yet it says that they knew not the scripture, verse 9, that he must rise again from the dead. So there was something going on there that led them to believe that it wasn't quite hopeless, whereas it seems that Mary's thinking, this is hopeless. Somebody stole the body. What's going on here? And again, is there anything wrong with her weeping? No, she met the Lord Jesus Christ. He consoled her there, and he got her to the point where she needed to be. So Mary wept over her Savior, Peter over his sin. Jesus wept over the city and over the saints. And then I'll show you another scripture here in Revelation chapter number 5. John didn't weep here, but we find him weeping in the Revelation. Revelation chapter number 5. And so is there anything wrong with weeping? No, but we must consider why we are weeping. Revelation chapter number 5. And of course, the area here, there's a book written. It's got seven seals on it. And notice verse number 1. I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Notice verse 3, and no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. In other words, John is saying there is nobody worthy to open this book. And I really want to know what's in it. And notice what verse number 4 says, and I wept much. I wept much. The Apostle John here says, I wept much. He might not have wept when he went to the sepulcher for Jesus, but right here, when there was nobody found that could open up this book to disclose this revelation to him, to give him this enlightenment, to help him to understand that nobody in heaven, nobody in earth, nobody under the earth, amen, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. He says, I wept much. Why? He's saying there is nobody holy enough to open this. Not even me. Wow. And he's the one getting the revelation. He says, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. But I like the comfort, verse 5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And of course, we know the rest of the story. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Jesus Christ is able to open it. But I find it intriguing that over in the Gospels, you don't find John weeping. But then when it comes down to open up the book, the revelation, nobody's able. Nobody's worthy. And he weeps over that. Amen. And so John wept over the situation of the revelation. There was nothing there. Amen. Go back to Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. So dealing with weeping here, there is a time to weep. There is a way to weep. There is a season to weep. Amen. And we don't have to weep over everything. We do have to guard ourselves, though, to make sure it's not selfish weeping. Feeling sorry for ourselves. You ever had to get on your children and you know that your children, there's nothing wrong with them, and they start crying. You ask them why they're crying, and oftentimes because they're feeling sorry for themselves. You know, I got caught, or I'm getting corrected, or whatever the situation is, you know. And what we should say is weep over the sin that you caused to the heart of Jesus and the grief you caused to your parents. Amen. If you're going to weep over something, weep over that. But don't weep over your own selfish feelings of saying, well, you know, I got caught or whatever, amen. And maybe I'm sorry I did it, amen. Maybe some remorse there. But oftentimes we find that is what happens. Notice verse number 36 again. When he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. Verse number 38, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that he should see their face. They should see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Paul was 3 years helping at the Ephesian elders here in their area. He grounded them. He established them. He nurtured them. He instructed them. He led them, some of them from babes to Christ and to now the leadership positions that they're in. And so now Paul is about to depart from them and they're about to weep. Amen. And Paul was no stranger to people weeping and to himself weeping as well. But let me show you a couple things that Paul did find that he wept over. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. Paul was no stranger to tears. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 4. And Paul here is going to be weeping over the grief that was caused to the Christians at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 4. By the way, what's going on here? Paul wrote a scathing letter to them in 1 Corinthians, and he really was talking about putting a guy out of the church. And notice what he says in verse number 1 of chapter 2. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in, what's that word? Heaviness. He said, I laid it on you. Amen. Parents, you ever scolded your children and really laid it on them? Amen. And afterwards, you felt sorry that you had to lay it on them so tough. Amen. But afterwards, you enjoyed seeing what happened because you laid it on them heavy. Amen. My mother, she regretted, not regretted. She was felt heavy about the 3-month punishment that she put me on. For June and July and August. She said she went to work and cried over the fact that she had to do that to me. I was on lockdown. Natasha, I don't know if you or Rebecca ever had that, but I was on lockdown. When I say lockdown, I could go to the bathroom. I could eat. That was about it. I couldn't even look out the window. That's bad. That's bad. Amen. Now I could peek. But I couldn't make eye contact with any of my friends out on the street. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't listen to radio, no TV, no records. CDs for y'all. Amen. No music, no entertainment, no nothing. Brother Neil, the only thing I could do was go to church. And I joined everything the church had to offer just to get out of the house. Amen. But for 3 months, I was on total lockdown. I could do absolutely, positively nothing. Yes, Josiah, I could go to the bathroom. I could take a bath. I could do all the hygienic things. But anything that dealt with amusements, I couldn't do. I couldn't do anything. My sisters would go out and have a good time and come back, and I'd sit there. I would hear my mother downstairs. I'm sorry, Greg is on a 3-month punishment. I'm thinking, ooh, no, she didn't tell him that. I got to go back to school in September. And she just told him I was on a 3-month punishment. You know what happened when I went back to school? You got the bag over your head, you know, when you go to school, amen. Well, for 3 months, and what happened was she hurt more, I think, than I hurt. Now, I was a kid. I hurt. But I don't think I hurt like a parent hurt, because I had let her down. I had done the unthinkable. I had done something that could have killed me and could have killed others. I'm driving underage a car, her car, impaired. That's a recipe for disaster. That's a recipe for disaster. And so she had to ground me, and she felt really bad. And that's how Paul is feeling here. He said, I came down really heavy on you. Verse number 2, he says, for if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad? He said, but the same which is made sorry by me. He said, that's you. And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice. He said, if I didn't write this, you guys would be making me more sorrowful, and you should be causing me to rejoice. He says, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For notice this, out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with what? Many tears. He said, man, when I wrote this to you, I was heartbroken, number one, that such a promising church with such spiritual gifts were in so much sin. He said, and I saw that, and I had to write this, and I really didn't want to write this. And I saw what was going on in the church with all these sins and this guy and this particular sin of immorality. He said, I can't believe that you guys had, and I had to write this to you. Parents oftentimes feel that time when it comes to children. And to Corinth, they were Paul's children. And having to write this, he said, I wrote this with tears. He said, out of anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. Not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if I have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. He goes in to talk about how they actually got that thing right. But Paul said, I was in tears writing to you about this situation, to see the devastation in the church, to see what it caused in the church, to see I imparted to you the right way, and you went the wrong way. Amen. Parents, doesn't it hurt you when your kids go the wrong way, when they know the right way to go, or they know the right things to do, and they do the wrong thing? Sometimes they've been beguiled. Sometimes they've been just bullheaded and stubborn. Amen. But irregardless, it pains your heart when you've trained them to go the right way to see them go the wrong way. It does. I don't care how old you get, it is still that way. Amen. Now, if I was to call my mom right now and tell her, you know, Mom, I'm doing this foolish thing here, and I'm going to do this, you know, she would say, boy, what are you thinking? You know, I didn't train you. It would pain her heart. It really would. Amen. And so Paul wept over the grief of the Christians that was caused to them, but it got them right. But then notice over Philippians chapter 3 and verse 18, Paul wept again, Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 18. And so Paul was no stranger to tears. And so this weeping party that he finds here, he's no stranger to that. Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 18. Again, Paul here writing about some of the people and their responses to the gospel. And notice what he says in verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So he says, you know, be a follower of me. He said, mark those that walk the same way I walk. He said, you have us for an example. He says, verse 18, for many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even what? Weeping. That they are enemies of the cross of Christ. He said, there are some people out there calling themselves Christians right now and got people following them. He said, they're the enemies of the cross. He said, they're not teaching the right way. He said, that makes my heart bleed. Amen. Doesn't that get your heart when you see somebody that says they're Christian, they don't live like a Christian? Amen. Especially if they're a public notoriety. Amen. Many athletes out there, I mean, you hear them over there giving praise to God. Next minute, they're cursing somebody. I'm thinking, no. The younger children see this, and then they're going to see, well, he says he's a Christian. Look at his foul mouth. Amen. No. Paul says, hey, look, this pains my heart that these people are doing this. And so he says, you know what? I'm telling you this, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And Paul, knowing his heart, he's probably concerned about their own souls, number one. Are they really even saved? Because notice what he goes on to say about them. Whose end is what? Destruction. That doesn't sound like somebody that's saved. Whose God is their what? Belly. That doesn't sound like somebody that's saved. Whose glory is in their what? Shame. That doesn't sound like a saved person. Who mind what kind of things? Earthly things. Amen. Then he contrasts it with us, for our conversation is in heaven. Our conversation is not like that. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he going to do? Who shall change your vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So Paul says, these guys are enemies of the cross. They may say one thing, but their example, their testimony is quite another thing. These folks, they're headed for the lake of fire. They're headed for some doom. They're headed for hell. They're not right with God. And they're enemies. And Paul, he said, this makes me weep. Amen. I don't know about you, but it does. It saddens my heart, especially when you find people that have a huge following and you know they're not right. and they're teaching heresy. They're teaching things that are not right by the Bible. They're not even teaching people how to get saved, but they have a huge following. I'm not going to mention Joel Osteen's name. Amen. But he's one of them. And many others like him, Creflo Dollar, Benny Hinn, and the likes. Amen. They have huge followings. Now, I guarantee you there are some saved people that are in the audience. You cannot get away from the gospel that way. There are some people out there that are just bamboozled and they're beguiled and they're caught up in this emotional flow of prosperity gospel. But folks, to see, brother, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like, just give me 5 minutes up on that stage. Just give me 5 minutes with that crowd. Just five. That's all I need. Five. I give them the gospel real quick. Amen. They can boo me and throw me off on my ear. Amen. But just give me 5 minutes. And he's got millions of people that he's influencing around the world. And not just him, but some of the other guys out there. Amen. And I tell you, folks, it makes your heart burn. It really does. Amen. As Paul is about to depart from the elders of Ephesus, there's much weeping going on here. And, you know, when you come down to verse number 38, it lets us know primarily it was for the fact that they wouldn't see Paul anymore. And again, I started this whole chapter off. If you knew you wouldn't see someone else anymore, what would that final conversation be like? What would that final instruction be like? What would that final parting moment be like when you know it's quite possible that I may never see you again? Go back to Acts chapter number 20. What would those final moments be like? Paul had kind of reserved and resolved himself that he was not going to see them anymore. Go back up to verse number, where does he say, bonds and afflictions abide me? Which verse is that? Verse 22, he says, now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. This is one thing I know, though. He said, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying what? Bonds and afflictions abide me. I'm going to be imprisoned and I'm going to be beat. He says, one thing I know. And they know that as well. If you knew that the person that you're talking to, you're not going to see him anymore, what would that last conversation be like? What would you say? How would you behave? What instruction would you give? Paul tried to pour his heart out to them. He said, I'm going to give you everything I got. He said, because you may never see me anymore. And like Jesus, throughout Paul's ministry, he oftentimes did not weep over his own beatings. He didn't weep over his own battles. But he wept over the burdens of the brethren oftentimes. Notice verse 38 again, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. You know, there are going to be times when we will not know that it is our last meeting that we see somebody. It's going to happen. I've been to the hospital when I've gone in there and I say, well, let me go back. Carlene's a good example. I went in there and was talking with Carlene and praying with her. And I said, well, let me run out here real quick and grab something. By the time I came back in, Carlene was gone. Just that quick. And I was so glad that I got a chance to talk to Carlene before she drew that last breath. I was only gone about 10 minutes. I said, let me step out for a minute and grab this, and came back in and I saw everybody over the bed and I knew she had gone. Just that quick. So you never know when the last meeting is going to be when you see someone. You just don't. And so we need to make every moment that we have with people special. Why? We don't know when it's going to be. You know, I left going up to Phoenix. There was no guarantee that G2 and I were going to come back safe. G2 came back with Brother Hall. There was no guarantee that I was going to make it without them. There was no guarantee. None at all. You know, the men jumped in the van. There's no guarantee that van was going to make it. You turn the news on, people are dying every day in vehicle accidents. And you don't know. Folks, the encouragement that I could give from what we see in chapter 20, make our meetings profitable. Make them profitable. Use our time wisely. Say things that are going to profit the people that we're with. You see Paul here giving them profit. Now, he had some insight. He knew that he was going to Jerusalem. He kind of knew he wasn't going to see them. We won't always be privy to that. And so we've got to make sure that we use each moment special with care and with kindness. There was a guy that I met up at the conference several years ago, the men's conference. Brother Hall knows what I'm talking about. He was a member of another church here in the area, and I asked him, was he saved? And he couldn't give me a straight answer. Member of a fundamental Baptist church. And so I began working with him and talking with him. The very next year rolled around, and guess what? He had died of cancer. He had died of cancer. And I said, where's so-and-so? They said, oh, you didn't hear? He died. And I thought, whoa. Now, he said he got things settled, and I pray that he did, but we don't know. And I didn't know. I just know that God pressed upon my heart to ask him that question. And you never know. As we go into chapter 21, it's going to really speed up from here. Paul's going to be doing a lot of traveling, a lot of sailing. How many of y'all have Bible maps in the back of your Bibles? Most of you? Okay. We'll be looking at a Bible map next week as we kind of chart some of the places that Paul goes through down here in verses 1 through 8 and kind of finding those places on the maps. We can see where he's sailing and how he's sailing. But I would encourage you as you leave here tonight, take special note of the ones that you love, and you never know when the last time is you may see them. And so make sure you love up on them, amen, because you just never know. You never know. You really just don't know. When I went over to Belgium, my parents, they didn't know if they were going to see me again. I didn't know if I was going to see them again. And if the truth be known, guess what? I almost didn't see them again. Drinking and driving and crashed into a house. I almost didn't see him. But God in his mercy had another plan for me and saved me about 3 months later. And I believe I'd have kept on that present course, they would not have seen me again. They would not have. I'm talking from somebody that fell asleep in a fireplace when it's lit. That's not smart because he blacked out. And the only thing I had was a black grate mark on my arm. And if it were not for the grate that my hand fell up against like this, guess where I would have been? In the fireplace, blacked out, dead. So I might not have been either. And so when I talked this morning about alcohol, I know what it can do. I know how dangerous it is. I know what a serpent it is. And the Bible says, if you're deceived thereby, you're not wise. I was very unwise. Amen. So take good note of the loved ones that you have. Spend your time with them. Amen. Let them know that you love them. Amen. Much weeping going on here. Nothing wrong with tears. Amen. Just making sure we understand why we are weeping. Amen. Father, thank you for Paul's encouragement to us, what we were able to see by his life. Lord, how he conducted himself. Lord, we saw many people weeping in the Bible. John wept because there was no one to open the scriptures. Mary wept because she thought someone had taken your body. Lord, Peter wept over his sin. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. And Paul wept over the grief that was caused. And he wept over those that were enemies of the cross. God, help us to take note of why we weep, how we weep, where we weep, when we weep. We know sometimes our tears may be uncontrollable. We may weep for reasons that we know not. Lord, help us to do those things that are pleasing in thy sight and to really take account of what brings us to tears and why it brings us to tears. And Lord, help us to join our hearts and knit our hearts to your heart. We may weep over the same things that you wept over and the same reasons that you wept, the same reasons that Paul and many others wept. Biblically, Lord, help us to really take note of that. Thank you so much for loving us. Dismiss us with your blessings, God, and bring us back on Wednesday. And we pray that the gospel tracts that will be given out will get into the hands of men, women, boys, and girls, and that some young person will read the tract and get saved before it's everlasting too late. Only in glory will we know the impact that those gospel tracts have had on a young person's life or an adult as far as that is concerned. I'm blessed now in Jesus' name. Amen.